This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah. Salatu wassalamu ala Rasulillah. Wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa ala. My dear respected brothers, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We had started last week the book of Bustan al-Arifin, the garden of the aware, and we gave the introduction of what Imam an-Nawawi himself has given as an introduction to this book. And we said that this book is a book which deals with a person being aware of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to be conscious of their position in this life and where they are heading. And he talks about some of the important topics therein. And he starts by addressing a very important topic, which anyone who is walking towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has to be aware of and has to be practicing. And that is the whole concept of intention. So no doubt there is so much to be had of intention. It's one of those things that the ulama continuously refer to, because they know that with this topic of intention, there is so much to attain, so much to learn, so much to achieve. So he starts off by saying, Alhamdulillah, wassalatu wassalamu ala Rasulillah. He said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, so he starts off with the verses of what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions. He said, وَمَا أُمِرُوا إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُوا اللَّهَ مُخْلِصِينَ لَهُ الدِّينَ حُنَفَاءَ وَيُقِيمُوا الصَّلَاةَ وَيُؤْتُوا الزَّكَاةَ وَذَلِكَ دِينُ الْقَيِّمَةِ. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that they were not ordered except the following three things. So it's almost like these were the essence. The first thing was to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, مُخْلِصِينَ لَهُ الدِّينَ, to be sincere to Him in their deen. So that's number one. Number two, that they should be hunafa. We'll explain what that means. And number three, that they establish salah, yuqimu salah, wa yu'tu az-zakah. So the reality of all these matters is that the basic request that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants from any individual in this life is to worship Him with ikhlas. Worship Him sincerely. And ikhlas, as you all know, is obviously translated as sincerely, but it comes even from the basic word of how the Arabs talk about the honey. They say al-asal al-khalus is the honey that is free from any wax. So it is purified honey. And so this is how a person's iman, this is how a person's ibadah, this is how a person's practice should be. It should be clear of any impurities that may affect that action. Secondly, that they should be hunafa. And hunafa, we take this word from the Prophet, which Prophet? Ibrahim alayhi salam, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described him as hanif. And hanif means someone who is actually diverted away. Yani, it's almost like he's inclined away. So it has a different meaning, if you like, from the istiqama. Istiqama is to be steadfast, to be upright, to going straight. Hanif means that you are diverting or inclined. And here it means that a person is inclined towards the deen of Allah, to the fitrah, to the natural practice, to the pure practice, inclined towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's what the Hanafiya means. And some of the commentators even, they said the reason why when we pray and we sit down in the tashahud, we sit down, we don't sit down straight, we sit down a little bit tilted, don't we? Tilted to the right. And this is the sitting called the iftirash. And then in the last four rak'ah of Dhuhr or Asr, Isha, and last rak'ah of Maghrib, we sit in what's known as Tawarruk, which is even more tilted. And he said that is to signify the Hanafiya. So even in your salah, there's almost like a symbol towards the Hanafiya, which is that you are tilted towards the fitrah, towards the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah wants us to practice the natural way, to be naturally inclined towards is the correct practice. And يُقِيمُ الصَّلَاةَ وَيُؤْتُ الزَّكَاةَ, they establish the salah, they establish the give the zakah, and ذَلِكَ دِينُ الْقَيْمَةَ. And subhanAllah, when you look at this verse, it's very, very basic, and it's almost like saying, you know, the deen isn't difficult. You know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't want much from you. And in fact, on the day of judgment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings a person, on the day of judgment. And we know this in the Quran, Allah mentions it a number of times. He brings that person, and that person is from the people of the fire. So he has done lots of bad things, lots of wrong. He's heading for the fire. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ask him, if you had now all the treasures of the earth and that which is in it, would you pay that as a ransom to save you from the punishment that you are heading for? And he will say, of course. He's thinking maybe there's an opportunity. Of course I will do it. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, well, I didn't ask that from you. All I asked from you was that you worship me and that you do not associate anything with me. Just something simple. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not asking you to give all your money, to give all your wealth, to give all your treasure. Just ibadah, simple. Worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Pay the zakah, give the, establish the salah. وَذَلِكَ دِينُ قَيِّمٌ. And in the hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a man came to him and said to him, Ya Rasulallah, أَرَأَيْتَ إِن صَلَّيْتُ الْمَكْتُوبَاتِ وَصُمْتُ رَمَضَانِ وَأَحْلَلْتُ الْحَلَالِ وَحَرَّمْتُ الْحَرَامِ أَأَدْخُلُ الْجَنَّةِ. O Messenger Allah, suppose I were to pray the five prayers, I were to fast Ramadan, I was to make halal that which is halal, make haram that which is haram, would I enter al-Jannah? He said, Na'am, yes. Simple. Again, this is the deen al-qayyima. It's the simple, upright deen. Then the next verse is, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَنْ يَخْرُجْ مِنْ بَيْتِهِ مُهَاجِرًا إِلَى اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ ثُمَّ يُدْرِكُهُ الْمَوْتِ فَقَدْ وَقَعَ أَجْرُهُ عَلَى اللَّهِ. Whoever, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, whoever leaves his house, مُهَاجِرًا, having that intention that he is migrating to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his messenger, then death catches up with him, then his reward has become established with Allah. So again, another verse emphasizing that it's the action, the intention, which is more prominent than the action. So if you leave your house, you want to reach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you're going toward, you're sacrificing, you're giving up, you're migrating to Allah and his messenger, but then death catches up with you. يُدْرِكُهُ الْمَوْتِ, before he manages to complete his journey. So he didn't reach his destination. He didn't achieve the goal. He didn't fulfill the objective of the project. But his intention was there. He made the steps. Allah says, فَقَدْ وَقَعَ أَجْرُهُ عَلَى اللَّهِ. Allah says, and the waqa'a is like it's fallen, yani it's become established. You know, if something is flying about, okay, still say it is airy fairy, but when it falls down, it's become khala. That's why Allah says فَوَقَدْ وَقَعَ, it has become established, that his reward is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And there is a story in this regards related to one of the sahaba who was in Mecca, and he heard that you know, the verse where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was inviting people to come out, and only those who had excuse. And then he said, I don't have any excuse. Even though he was an old man, he didn't have excuse. So he said, I must go and migrate to Medina to catch up with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But as he left, he died on the outskirts of Mecca, so he didn't even manage. So some of the mushrikeen, they were making fun of him. They said, look at him, he didn't even, you know, he wanted to go, he didn't even make it, he didn't stay in Mecca, nor did he. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed that verse in this regard. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, this continuation, He said, رَبُّكُمْ أَعْلَمُ بِمَا فِي نُفُوسِكُمْ. Your Lord is more aware or knows best what is in yourselves. And this is also another verse which pours into this whole concept and understanding of the intention, because end of the day, your actions are there for people to see. But what is really inside your heart, what is the real reason you are doing things? Allah knows. Allah knows what's inside you, and He is more aware, so you cannot obviously in any way attempt to trick Him. وقال الله تعالى لن ينال الله لحومها ولا دماؤها ولكن يناله التقوى منكم. Their flesh and their blood does not reach Allah, meaning the animal that is sacrificed. And this verse came in the context of being talking about the udhiya or the hadi that is presented in Hajj. Allah says that neither their flesh nor the blood will reach Allah. Rather, it is your taqwa, your piety, your God-fearing, your God-consciousness, your God-fearing. That is what reaches Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah doesn't need the actions. He doesn't need the ritual. And this goes for everything. So it's not just about the sacrifice here. And it's not about the physical things that you give. Everything that you do, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't need it. And in the hadith al-Qudsi, يَا عِبَادِي لَوْ أَنَّ أَوَّلَكُمْ وَآخِرَكُمْ وَإِنْسَكُمْ وَجِنَّكُمْ كَانُوا عَلَىٰ أَتْقَى قَلْبِ رَجُلٍ مِّنْكُمْ مَا زَادَ ذَلِكَ فِي مُلْكِ شَيْءٍ. Allah says, my ibad, my slaves, if the first of you and the last of you, first of you till the last of you, the ins of you and the jinn of you, so all the creation from beginning of Adam alayhi salam to the end, and being from the shaitan, from the jinn side till the end, all of you were to be the most pious and the most God-fearing and the most practicing person, that's not going to increase my kingdom anything. It's not gonna benefit Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the same goes the other way. If you are, all of you were on the worst and the most evil of all people, you're all like that, that's not gonna decrease my kingdom. So end of the day, our actions, our intentions, they're not gonna affect Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah's not gonna benefit from them, He's not gonna be harmed from them. Allah is the one who benefits and He's the one who harms. Okay, it's not you. So end of the day, the simple reality that tells you is that you are in need of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not Allah is in need of you. And Abdullah ibn Abbas, he said that when he's commenting on this verse, وَلَكِنْ يَنَالُهُ التَّقْوَى مِنْكُمْ, he said, meaning the intention, وَلَكِنْ يَنَالُهُ النِّيَّاتُ مِنْكُمْ. So it's all about, again, the intentions of this action. Also, Imam Nawawi continues, he says, وَقَالَ إِبْرَاهِيمُ التَّقْوَى مَا يُرَادُ بِهِ وَجْهُهُ. So here Ibrahim, I think he is referring here to Ibrahim ibn Adham, that what taqwa, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is referring by taqwa is, what is the basic outline of taqwa? How do you know that something is taqwa? It's something that you intend with it the reward of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then Imam Nawawi says, وقال الإمام أبو الحسن الواحدي قال الزجاج المعنى لن يتقبل الله الدماء واللحوم إذا كانت من غير تقوى الله تعالى وإنما يتقبل منكم ما ستتقون به. So again, the thing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts is that not that He does not accept the sacrifice, but the sacrifice has to be engaged with that taqwa and that piety. So here also a person should not understand the opposite meaning, which is that some people might say, well, therefore we don't need to do actions, because end of the day what is important is just the intention. As long as my intention is good, as long as I have iman, then it doesn't matter about the actions. So here as the judge is saying, no, don't think that that's what it means. It means that Allah will not accept the sacrifice if there is no taqwa, but he will accept it if it is accompanied with that God-fearingness and that ritual aspect of intending Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Imam Nawawi says, all these verses that I mentioned there, they all indicate that the ibadat, the actions, cannot be correct except with intention. So there must be an act, there must be a conscious effort that there is an intention. And that intention with any act of ibadah must be that a person intends to come closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and fulfilling that which Allah has ordered him to do. So this includes, as you will mention later on, includes the wudu, the ghusl, the salah, the zakah, the hajj has to be with a correct intention. And this is the opinion of the majority of the scholars. The Ahnaf, they differed slightly with this, because what they said is, they said the things that are considered general practice, yani basic practice, they don't need a niyyah, they don't need an intention. So for example, if you had something which is najis here, okay, something that's najis, yeah, and you came and you poured water over it to clean it, yeah, khalas, it becomes clean. It don't have to have the intention that I'm intending to clean it. You cleaned it, it's clean. So they said removing a najasa is similar to making wudu, because wudu is also removing a hadath. So you don't need an intention when you are making wudu. That is their sort of, if you like, their logic behind that, because they're saying it's almost like the purpose is served. And that's why for the Ahnaf, if you are walking on the side of a river and somebody pushes you in the river, okay, just by falling into the river, khalas, you've got wudu and you've got ghusl, everything is done for. Even if you didn't even think about it, you've come out of the river, khalas, if you didn't have wudu or you had the janaba, you have now. Whereas no, in the other madahib, when you are pushed into the river, just somebody pushes you in the river, if you don't make the intention while you're in the water that I'm doing ghusl or I am doing wudu, even if it's just for a moment, then you don't remove. And that's the slight difference between them in that regards. It's and as you can see, each one has their own concept in that. That doesn't mean that the Ahnaf say don't do the intention. Obviously, when you have the intention, there is more reward therein. And indeed, even in the Shafi'i madhab, for example, is that the intention that is obligatory is at the beginning of the act. So when you do the first pillar of wudu is to wash the face. So as you are washing the face, the intention must be there. Okay? But after that, if the intention slips away, that means halas, you started the wudu, but then you started to think about other things. You went on autopilot. Yeah? All of a sudden you realize that you've done wudu without even... that the wudu is still sound. Okay? But yustahab istishab an-niyyah min awwaliha ila akhiriha. The recommended thing is that your intention is there throughout the wudu, not just at the beginning. Continued right till the end, so you get that reward as well. And the same with the salah. I mean, how many of us enter the salah, we have the intention, we have the focus, Allahu Akbar, then khalas, after that we go somewhere else, we're everywhere. And then at the end, as we are sitting for tahiyyat, we realize that we are here and we didn't realize how we got there, you know. And that is a problem. Obviously, there's a problem with the salah in terms of the reward, in terms of the iqbal, turning towards Allah. But in terms of it being done, it's done. Yani, khalas, you don't have to repeat the salah. But Allahu a'lam if you've got the reward for that or not. Now, Imam An-Nawawi then just goes on to mention another key point here, and this is inshallah the focus. We'll only be another 10-15 minutes, inshallah. He said that and here, if you remember last time, he said that he's not going to elongate a lot when he talks about hadith, but because this hadith is such an important hadith, he gives his his isnad, if you like, his actual transmission, train of transmission for this hadith. So he says, أخبرنا شيخنا الإمام أبو البقاء خالد بن يوسف بن سعيد بن الحسن ابن المفرج ابن بكار المقدسي النابلسي الشافعي رضي الله عنه قال أخبرنا أبو اليمن الكندي أخبرنا محمد بن عبد الباقي الأنصاري أخبرنا أبو محمد الحسن بن علي الجوهري أخبرنا أبو الحسين محمد بن المظفر الحافظ أخبرنا أبو بكر محمد بن سليمان الواسطي أخبر حدثنا أبو نعيم عبد الله بن هشام الحلبي عن ابن مبارك عن يحيى بن سعيد عن محمد بن إبراهيم التيمي عن علقمة ابن وقاص الليثي عن عمر بن الخطاب رضي الله عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إنما الأعمال بالنيات وإنما لكل امرئ ما نوى فمن كانت هجرته إلى الله ورسوله فهجرته إلى الله ورسوله ومن كانت هجرته إلى دنيا يصيبها أو امرأة يتزوجها فهجرته إلى ما هاجر إليه. So he mentions here his isnad, his line of transmission, and this is something that obviously the ulama, and it's very very much unique and specific for this ummah, the ummah of Islam, that they preserved things through this isnad. You know, they verified the whole transmission with these chains, and that's why we know that, you know, a hadith which are correct and sound, sahih and hasan and da'if, the transmission is very important and very significant. We won't dwell too much into that because I'm sure that in itself is a whole topic. But in his isnad, he narrates that, which goes back all the way to Umar radiallahu anhu, and then goes back to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that he said, indeed, actions are only by intentions, and every person shall only get what they intend. Therefore, whoever migrates to Allah and His Messenger, then his migration shall be for Allah and His Messenger. And anyone who migrates to gain something from the dunya or to marry a woman, then his migration is that for which he has migrated. This hadith is unanimously agreed to be sound, so it's a sahih hadith. Its position is immense. It is one of the foundations of iman, and it is also a unique and precious hadith. And the ulama of the hadith, they consider this hadith as what's known as gharib. It's considered gharib, meaning strange, and strange in the sense that of its the transmission. It's just the terminology. It's not a strange hadith, meaning that it's something strange about it, but it means that its transmission is only through one chain. Because the only person that narrates it from the Prophet ﷺ is Umar ibn al-Khattab. And the only person that narrates it from Umar ibn al-Khattab is Waqas al-Laythi, Alqama ibn Waqas al-Laythi. And the only one that narrates it from Alqama is Muhammad ibn Ibrahim al-Taymi. And the only one who narrates it from Muhammad is Yahya ibn Sa'id al-Ansari. You see these four chains and levels, they are only unique, only one. So it is very that's why they call it strange. But after Yahya ibn Sa'id, it became dispersed, and from him more than 200 people narrated from Yahya ibn Sa'id, and most of them are imams in that regards. And that's what Imam Nawawi explains as well. And he mentions the saying of Al-Hafidh, the Hadith master, who he means by Al-Hafidh is Ibn Hajar Al-Asqalani, who said, commented on this way. This Hadith obviously is a very important Hadith. It's a very, it's a foundational Hadith, as you know. It sets the standards for a lot of things. That's why Imam Bukhari, he narrated this hadith in seven places in his Sahih with different, you know, different chains. He related it at the beginning of his book, and also in the chapters of Iman, marriage, freeing slaves, migration, giving up deceit, and also in the Book of Oaths. And it also has various wordings as well, as will be discussed later on. One wording which is al-a'malu bin-niyat, al-a'malu bin-niyat. And here Imam An-Nawawi says that according to Abu Musa al-Asfahani, that this, the sanad of this specific one, is not sound. Al-a'malu bin-niyat, as contrasted to innama al-a'malu bin-niyat. So what's the difference between the two? Huh? So we know innama al-a'malu bin-niyat means actions are only but by intentions. The other one is al-a'malu bin-niyat. What does that mean? Huh? They're both ikhbar, but what's the difference between?
Actions are
by intentions, yeah? What's the difference between the two? In terms of the application? We have the word innama, yeah? So the first one is innama al-a'malu bin-niyat, the other one is al-a'malu bin-niyat. Now, yes, jazakallah khair. So innama, which is what again Imam An-Nawawi here explains, is that innama is used, it's just a small word, yeah? But it, when it's used in a sentence, it implies specificity. So innama al-a'malu bin-niyat means al-a'malu la takun illa bin-niyat. That means actions can only be by their intentions. Whereas the other one, al-a'malu bin-niyat, means actions are by intentions, but also it can mean that actions are not by intentions, because it's not specific, it's not saying anything else. That, and that's why we see that in the Quran, yani the word innama, whenever you see in the Quran, you know that the sentence following this is restricted. Okay, so like when Allah says innama al-mu'minuna ikhwa, that believers, innama means that they can only be brothers, they cannot be enemies or anything like that. That's not the, and so on, you can inshallah see that as well, bi'idhnillah ta'ala. So he says, as we will see, that there are different variations of this hadith. There is innama al-a'malu bin-niyat, there is innama al-a'malu bin-niyah, and there is al-a'malu bin-niyah. There's different variations, but he said the one that just says al-a'malu bin-niyat, that is not a sound narration according to the hadith master Abu Musa al-Asbahani. And as for the what is the intention? Yani basically, intention is al-qasad, it's the resolve, it's the you to do something, it's your aim of what you are wanting to do. And that's why if your intention out of the, and that's why the Prophet ﷺ gives that simple act, that simple example. If you want to, if you do hijrah, what is the intention? Why are you doing the hijrah? Okay, and here the Prophet ﷺ is giving us a simple simple comparison. The hijrah and the act is the same. Okay, two people leaving their houses, leaving their cities, leaving their places, and they are going to another destination. They're both outwardly the same action, but internally one is going for Allah and His Messenger because he's been ordered to do the hijrah. Another person has gone because he's looking for a worldly gain, either to do a business or to marry a woman or etc. The outward action is the same, but the reward will be according to that person's intention. Then Imam An-Nawawi says that this hadith, which we mentioned before, he said, our Imam Muhammad ibn Idris al-Shafi'i, may Allah be pleased with him, said this hadith enters into 70 chapters of fiqh. So this hadith applies to 70 chapters. And here he's trying to say basically that every aspect of the fiqh, there is an application for the intention. Okay, and that's why when we spoke about, when you think about all the ibadat, when you think about the mu'amalat, things like even, you know, talk about even when you word the words you're saying, and that's why the ulama, they have a general what's known as a construct. Al aslu الأصل في الألفاظ المعاني. So يرجع في الألفاظ إلى المعاني وليس إلى المباني. So when you make something, when you say something, we go back to what is your intention from saying this. Okay? Not the actual word. So even for example, Salah, you come to Salah, you've come to Salat al-Isha, you left your house, I'm coming to Salat al-Isha, everything is Salat al-Isha, everything. Then as you come to enter the prayer, you say, I intend to pray al-Maghrib. No way to Salli al-Maghrib. And then you enter the Salah. Okay? Your mind is Isha, everything is Isha. But you said al-Maghrib. That Maghrib doesn't mean anything. It's because you are absent-minded. It doesn't affect the Salah. Okay? Because you are not a thing. It does affect it though if you came out of the house and your intention is I'm praying, I've come out to pray Isha, coming out to pray, and then when you came, actually it was Maghrib time, it wasn't Isha time, okay? And then you joined, you're praying Isha, but actually it's Maghrib prayer. Now here's a problem, your Salah is not going to be valid because it's a different construct. And also in buying and selling, you know, today, that's why, you know, in the buying and selling, if I said to you, take this phone for £100, yeah? And you said, okay, I accept that. قبلت. And then you gave me £100 and I gave you the phone, yeah? And then, next day or whatever, I said, where's my phone? And he said, no, you sold me the phone for 100. You said, take this phone. I said, no, I meant take it, you know, have a look at it, yani, or borrow it for £100 and then give me it back. Yani. And this is why, when I said take it, I meant borrow it. I didn't mean I sold you it. You see, the word can imply the same thing, but then what is your intention behind it? Yeah, so here it becomes a dispute and then you have to. Or even when a man divorces his wife, okay, but he said to her, go back to your family. Yani, they had a fight, okay? And he said to her, go back to your family. Now, Jim, I said, well, he divorced me because what he's saying is khalas, he doesn't want his... And the word here, go back to your family, doesn't mean divorce. He didn't say you are divorced. He said, so here you have to go back to the intention. What is his intention? Was the intention to divorce her, or was his intention just go away, leave me alone for a few days or a few weeks? Yani, so here, this is where when Imam Shafi is saying enters into 70 chapters of fiqh, you can see how that application is there. He also said something which is Imam Shafi, he said this hadith is one third of knowledge. And a similar narration has been narrated by Abu Abdullah Ahmad ibn Hanbal, also said it enters into a third of knowledge. And there are similar accounts on other Imams. Now, Imam Abu Bakr al-Bayhaqi, in his book, The Summary, Iqtisar al-Sunan, he explains what al-Shafi'i meant. He said, what al-Shafi'i meant is that the person, the individual, the slave, acquires things. Yani, the way that you acquire things are either by your heart, or by your tongue, or by your limbs. Your heart, your tongue, or your limbs. So the intention is one of those divisions because the intention is in the heart. So that's why he said it's a third of knowledge, because it's that one of the acquisitions. And it is the most prominent, and it's the best of those acquisitions. Why is it the most best of acquisitions? Because, first of all, the intention in itself is an act. It's a rewardable act, okay, in itself. And secondly, words and actions can be perverted by showing off. So if you do an action and you're doing it with the wrong intention, or you're showing off, riya, and you're showing, then you will lose the action. Yeah. So your action, which is either what you say or what you do, if you start to show off with it, you will lose. But your intention, you cannot show off with your intention because your intention is hidden. You can't, unless you start speaking it. That's obviously changed now to a word, isn't it? But if your intention is there, it's not going to be affected because nobody can look at your intention. Whereas they can look at your words, they can look at your actions. And if you're doing it for the wrong reason, you are losing that reward. So that's the saying of Imam Al-Bayhaqi rahimahullah. And he said also, scholars, may Allah be pleased with them, they recommend that you begin all the compilations with this hadith. They always recommend that, if you had a compilation, bring in with this hadith. Like Imam Abu Abdullah al-Bukhari, rahimahullah, he obviously began his book with this compilation. And the beautiful thing about what Imam, and I'll end with this inshallah, how Imam al-Bukhari began this hadith is that the hadith is made up of four sentences, yeah? إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَّةِ, actions are only by intentions. The second sentence is action, every person should only have that which they intended. The third sentence is وَمَنْ كَانَتْ هِجْرَتُهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَرَسُولُهُ, whoever's hijra is to Allah and His Messenger, then his hijra is to Allah and His Messenger. And the fourth sentence is, what's the fourth sentence? Yeah. Whoever migrates for a dunya or for a marriage, then his migration. So there's four sentences. When Imam Bukhari narrates, remember how many times did he narrate it in the Sahih? We said? No, seven. We said he narrated it in seven places, yeah? So in this place, in the beginning of the book, when he narrates it by removing the third phrase. So he narrates it, إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَّاتِ وَإِنَّمَا لِكُلِّ امْرِئٍ مَا نَوَى فَمَنْ كَانَتْ هِجْرَتُهُ لِدُنْيَا يُصِيبُهَا أَوْ امْرَأَةٍ كُحَهَا فَهِجْرَتُهُ إِلَى مَا هَاجَرَ إِلَيْهِ. He removes the third phrase. Why does he do this? He does this for two main reasons. The first reason is to show that there is a madhab amongst the hadith scholars that the hadith doesn't have to be narrated fully. Yani you can choose from the hadith and just narrate that part of the hadith that's relevant to your subject, as long as the sentence is complete. And you don't just pick out a hadith and just, you can use, like for example, we know the hadith Al-Hajju Arafah. Yeah, this is a very simple hadith. This hadith Arafah is part of a long hadith in which the Prophet gave a khutbah and everything. So just to take a sentence, he's showing that this is permissible according to a madhab, an opinion amongst the hadith scholars. Secondly, he's doing this because he's trying to say the third phrase is actually saying that if a person's intention is for Allah and His Messenger, then he'll get. So he's trying to remove that phrase to say that in case you are thinking that I'm putting this hadith at the beginning to show off, to say that I'm compiling this book for Allah and His Messenger, I'm just removing that. So just so that you don't, it's almost like a form of etiquette to say that I'm not trying to boast that I'm doing it for Allah and His Messenger. Do you see how he did that? So he removed that phrase just to say that actually, yani, maybe that my intention, there's things intended, and not so that people not say that he is actually showing off and he's narrating this hadith at the beginning, and now he's saying that this book is for, that I've done it all for Allah, and that also may result in him losing the reward if he gets that wrong kind of aspect. So inshallah we'll end there, this section. Now, as you know, this whole chapter, the whole concept of a niyat is a big thing within itself. So Imam An-Nawawi in this book dwells a little bit more on it, and he wants to obviously try to further emphasize the whole concept of the niyat. So we still have a little bit more to go on with the whole concept of niyat. And because end of the day, remember, this is, he's talking about being aware of Allah, the garden of the aware. And it, I would not be exaggerating, and in fact these are not my words, but these are the words of the scholars, that if a person manages to perfect his intention, then that's it, he's saved, and he, al-Jannah is guaranteed. And because having that perfect intention, having that ikhlas, even if it's just for a moment of time, is very difficult. So that's why the ulama continuously beat at it, because if you just manage to achieve that, then you've achieved your status with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Jazakumullah. Does anybody have any questions they'd like to ask? Yes.